Was that powerful or what? Woo! Woo-wee! Wow. So much is, to he who is forgiven much loves much. To he who is forgiven much loves much. I truly have been forgiven much. And I hope you have too. I hope you realize the depth. And if you don't, this morning's for you. Because we're going to talk about grace and what a more awesome and glorious topic to study from the Word than the thought of the grace of God in our lives. God's grace is stronger than any sin in our life. And if you don't get anything other than that out of this, then I will give all the praise and glory to God. That God's grace is stronger than any sin in your and my life. The power that is in the grace of God is absolutely amazing, astounding, and rocks this world to its core, where this world does not know how to respond to that kind of grace. And we should never think of it in a trivial way. And our lives should be holy and pure before a righteous and holy God, a wonderful God who we serve, who is the most gracious and loving God of them all. The power of God's grace to save and to sanctify, and that word is just a really cool biblical word that means to set us apart. The power of God's grace to save and to set us apart is called the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says that. Let's go there real quick. The power of God's grace to save and to set us apart is called the unsearchable riches of Christ. Notice it says unsearchable riches. You can search and search and search, and you will not grow tired or weary of knowing the grace of God or studying the grace of God or understanding the power that is in the grace of God to change a life. It is unsearchable. It's a pit that never ends. And look at verse 8. Paul here says, although I am less than the least of all of God's people. And check that out. This is the apostle Paul saying that. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ, His grace. And Paul ends chapter 3, starting at verse 14, with a prayer. And I want to read you this prayer because it is all about the power of grace in a life. For this reason I kneel before the Father, whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This prayer is just littered with the unsearchable riches of Christ. I love verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you would be rooted, established in love. And verse 18, that you would have power together with all the saints, that he has made me first by his grace a saint. That is incredible. Saint and beau. Sounds kind of weird, you know? But yet, the power of his grace to make me a saint. Notice it says power with all the saints to grasp. If there's anything I pray is that you would grasp a hold of the grace of God today. That you would grab a little bit of it. Because it's not only there for your salvation, as we'll see, but it's also more stronger than any sin in your life to pull you out of areas of your life that you're in right now. And do not have a heart of unbelief in the grace and power of God to pull you out of the muck that you might find yourself in today. Because he's able to do that. His grace is that strong. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into another passage. Father, we come to you, and Lord, I just thank you so much for your grace, how you pull us out. Father, it is truly unsearchable riches that we delve into today. And Lord, who am I to be able to share this? Lord, so unworthy. Lord, a person who has fell so many times. But Lord, I stand upon that solid rock. I stand upon you, Jesus. Upon your saving work on that cross this morning. Father, I pray that our allegiance would be wholly to you. In a world that pledges allegiance to so many things that cause destruction, Lord, we pledge an allegiance to you this morning. For it's you that we serve, and help us not to be divided. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you turn with me to the book of Romans, We're going to talk a little bit, obviously, about grace this morning and these unsearchable riches. And we're just going to touch on really an aspect of grace. If I were to talk about the whole encompassing work of grace biblically, we'd have to do a series. But we're just going to touch on salvation, grace and salvation today. And there's a really wonderful passage in Romans chapter 4 and in verse 5. It says, "However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness." And I want you to see the phrase in here, God who justifies the ungodly. And right now, just focus on this, God who justifies. The word justification in your Bible was something that Paul used that was a legal term. It was a legal term of the day to declare right. You are declared right. And that's really what he's getting across. And that's what he means when he says that word, to justify. And this is talking about the grace, the power that's in declaring you and I right before God. There is power in God's grace to declare you and me in a right standing with God. God is holy, the Bible says. And God declares us, those in Christ, righteous, and he pardons our sins. See, God is not only a loving God, but he's a just God. He is a just God. If he were not to be a God of justice, then basically what you would have is everybody and anyone in heaven. You would get to heaven and you'd see Hitler. You'd be hanging out with him. That's what you would have if God wasn't just. But God says that he is a just God. And he will judge sin. And in his justice, what he did was he judged Jesus as if Jesus were me. His righteous justice was met in Christ. It was met in Jesus Christ. He cancels the guilt of a person's sin and credits righteousness to him. That's power. to cancel the guilt of the person's sin. Just think if you were in a court and say you were a lawyer, man, and you had a client here who's guilty as ever. You know, if 10 people saw what he did, could you imagine trying to get him to be justified in the court? If you had 10 people, if the defense attorney had 10 people get up on the stand, is the guy in the court, is the guy who did the crime in the court? Yeah, he's right there. Next guy get up, is the guy who did the crime in the court? Yeah, he's right there. If you had 10 people come and do that, that'd be tough to be the lawyer to declare, to try to get your guy off, to declare him right. Now, sure, in our world, if you have a lot of money, you can do that. But let's face it, to justify the ungodly, to declare someone right. And the Bible says that we all are sinful and ungodly. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And if we were to go in God's courtroom, we would all be in that place of the ungodly. And yet it says that God justifies. He declares right by His grace the ungodly. And now let's focus on who He declares right. He declares right who? The ungodly. That's radical. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 15 of 1 Timothy, the second part of that verse, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus, in the book of Matthew chapter 9, says it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. We look throughout the Gospels, and I was just kind of scoping through some of the Gospels, and yeah, I saw a Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8, who said to the Lord, I do not deserve your healing for you to do a work. He was a sinner. I saw a guy named Zacchaeus, who was hated by the people, tax collector, in Luke 19. And Jesus said, I'm going to dine with you today. And the people said, why is he dining with this person? He's a sinner. And then I saw in Luke chapter 7, I saw a woman who came into the Pharisee's house where Jesus was dining at, and she cried before God. She broke before the Lord, and they said, how could this person, Jesus, allow this to happen? Don't they know? Doesn't he know that she is a sinner? The good news is that Christ came to save sinners. God declares right the ungodly, the NIV puts it, the wicked. If you are not wicked, then he did not come for you. If you are not ungodly, then the Lord did not come for you. You are not who the Bible is referring to. See, to receive the power of the grace of God, there needs to be the humble heart, the admission that you are ungodly and that you are wicked. And that's me. And that's me. He came for me. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, there's another wonderful statement on the grace of God. It says, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Even though I was wicked, Christ died for me. When I had no power to get out of my wickedness, when I had no power to get out of my ungodliness, Christ died. Charles Spurgeon says it this way, He died for men, not as believers, but as sinners. He died for men, not as believers, but as sinners. Our Lord died with sinners and for sinners. Our Lord died with sinners and for sinners. And that kind of brings up just such a puzzling thing, and that is, why would God justify the ungodly? Why would He justify the wicked? Spurgeon says, did you think that salvation was for the good and that God's grace was for the pure and holy who are free from sin? Did you think that salvation was for the good and that God's grace was for the pure and holy who are free from sin? Oh, I grew up thinking that. Maybe some of you did. That, you know, God's goodness was for the guy who had the cool robe on. You know, the cool hat on. For the kid that held this really cool pole. Or for the people that swung this smelling thing. God, that's what God, that's who Christ came for. He came for the guy who got up in the morning and took his kids to church. That's who Jesus came for. He didn't come for me. He didn't come for me. Whose father was a mess, whose dad was an alcoholic, a porn addict, all that stuff. He didn't come for me. He didn't come for me, He came for them. Have you ever had that thought? Growing up? And yet the Bible declares that liberty is not for people who think they're righteous, but for me. He came for me. For people like me. Wicked sinners do not know how to do the right thing. Did you think that salvation was for the good and that God's grace was for the pure and holy who are free from sin? In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, it's a wonderful chapter. And it's a chapter that basically God says, come to me, you know, all who thirst. Man, I have water that's free. I have drink that's free. I have everything that's free. Come to me, God says. And He pleads with us to come to Him. And then He says something that you are very familiar with, probably, if you study the Bible at all. A passage that says, God's ways are not our ways. Nor are His thoughts our thoughts. God justifies the ungodly. His ways are not our ways. Will we justify the ungodly? Will we pardon people for their iniquity, for their sin? But yet God does. He pardons the sinner unlike us. He pardons those that are atheists, those that have been rebellious, those have been religious, those who have been hooked on meth, those that have been hooked on pornography, those who have been hooked on any other thing. God justifies those people. And if you're here today and you're saying, hey, you know what? Bo, you know, that's great, but, you know, I've been at church my whole life. You know, I pray that you would have just an awakening this morning of the power of the grace of God to let you see your sin and your wickedness. Because so many people that have not delved into the mud, as the skit we saw, can sit there and say, well, hey, I haven't done that, Bo. I haven't done those things. But yet, you need an awakening as to just your sin. And I hope this morning there would be that awakening. That if any are here that do not understand that we are in need of the power of the grace of God, that you would have a spiritual awakening this morning. That God would wake you up and revive you and regenerate you through the work of the Holy Spirit to come to understand what Christ has done, to reach down and to pull you out. And the length that He went to do that, that even if you think you are a good boy or girl, that don't think for a moment that there is not sin that has been in your life that has separated you from the love of God, and that God bridged the biggest gap by sending His Son Jesus to die on a cruel cross for you. Don't neglect so great a salvation and so powerful of grace. If you are in that place this morning, then I pray that you would cry out to God for a heart of repentance to receive the grace of God in your life. Why would God justify the ungodly, the wicked? It goes against everything that we think of. Look in God's Word in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30 is an awesome chapter, especially for me. I just identify with it because it talks about a person who's just totally in sin, man. They are stubborn. And it gets to a place in this chapter that's so cool. Have you ever read those chapters in the Bible where you just start reading it? And it's just so heavy, man. It's like, ooh, you feel so convicted. And then all of a sudden, there's a breath of fresh air. Just like, whew. That's what this chapter does. It says that in verse 9, it calls the hearers of this message rebellious, deceitful, unwilling. Does that sound like you at all? It's definitely me. In verse 18, though, why does God justify the ungodly? It says here, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait on Him. God longs to be gracious to you and I. He longs for that. He rises to show you and me compassion. That's incredible. Every day God raises, the analogy is, to show me compassion and kindness and goodness through the power of His grace in my life. Why would He justify the ungodly? Because He's a gracious. Look at Ephesians 2. Paul the Apostle, in this awesome epistle and a wonderful chapter on the grace of God. But look at verse 4 of this chapter. And we see why, again, would God justify the ungodly. But because of His great love for us. Now notice it says, but because. Well, but what, we can ask Paul. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Well, look at verse 1 of chapter 2. As for you who were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and that's exactly what this skit talked about, is following the ways of the world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who now is at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now look at verse 4. Here's the breath. But God, because of His great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Is that not incredible? God declares those who are ungodly and wicked, He declares them righteous, just as righteous as His Son, Jesus Christ. You are declared in right standing with God, even though you are wicked and ungodly. And why does He do it? Because of His great love for me. He loves me. He's rich in mercy. That's why He's made me alive. He has brought me back from the dead by His grace, that power that is in His grace. To conclude this morning, I want to just share a few things. One of them is, let's partake of the grace of God today. Look at Romans chapter 3. In light of the wonderful workings of God, man, let's just partake of it. If you're here and you haven't partaken of this grace, look at what this passage says in Romans 3:24. It says, it's talking about us, and you are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Let's partake. Why? Because it's free. It's free, man. Why would you not take of it? It is a free gift for you. Don't ever think for a moment that your salvation is not a working of God's grace and power in your life. That it is something that you have attained to. That is something that you can look at and you can boast about before people. That you can shake it in people's face and say, look at me, look how good I am. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a free gift by God. It's something that He gives to me. That's why when I watch this skit, I got to sit in the back because I break. I'm crushed. I got to sit there and just be crushed and take it. Because it's not me. There's nothing I could say to you that say, look at me, look at where I'm at. This is why. It's God's wonderful, powerful grace in a life. And I can take no credit. The glory I can only give to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who rose from the dead. That's it. Because my life is that. And through the power of God's grace, He not only saved me from that, but He has sanctified me from that. Don't ever think for a moment that there's two parts of salvation, that you're saved by grace and then there's another part. No, you're saved by grace, you're sanctified by grace, you're in heaven by grace. It is all through the power of grace in your life. The grace of God is so powerful that it can save the most lost soul. It can hold on to the back slidden without losing one. The grace of God is so powerful that it can save the most lost soul, and it can hold on to the backslidden without losing one. Jesus says in John 6:39, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of them that He has given me. In verse 40, He says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. Everyone who looks, every single person who looks at the Son has eternal life. There is no lost in there. Those that are in Christ, He is able to keep. Have we partook of that today? Are you looking to Jesus to pardon you for your sins before a holy God? Jesus is our life preserver. Jesus said, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Have you entered into that rest? Are you still religiously striving? Are you still religiously striving? People ask me all the time, especially the youth, I'm trying to do good. Don't try, die. Don't try, die. That's always what I tell them. Death is what you need. Jesus died and you died in Christ. It's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that lives in you. And when you appropriate that by faith, you will find a power of grace in your life that will set you free from any drug, any image, anything that's got you hooked. Entering into that rest. Let's not reject, this is the last thing, so great a salvation. Let's not reject so great, so free, so powerful a salvation. I plead you, do not leave this room rejecting this because you are intellectual, because you think high thoughts. Do not leave here without receiving this wonderful free gift. The soldiers made Jesus a martyr, but unbelief makes him out to be a liar, which is far worse. The soldiers made him to be a martyr, but unbelief makes him to be a liar, which is far worse. Charles Spurgeon says, "Do not ask, how can I believe? But answer another question. How can you disbelieve? How can you disbelieve of such a wonderful message that is so against the tide of this world that this world cannot figure it out?" It says, how can you be true, Christianity? You pardon the worst of people. And you know what? You're right. That's what our Lord has done. He has pardoned the wicked and the ungodly. And to the world, they say yes. But anybody can sin. Anybody, and I challenge you, anybody can sin. Anybody can break one of the Ten Commandments. It's not that hard. But to live a righteous life, Jesus, it says, lived an indestructible life. Could you imagine that? Living an indestructible life, so holy and right on with God that it was indestructible. It could not be destroyed no matter what. But living a holy life, a pure life for God, a life for the Lord in His grace, and having that power work in us, man, I tell you what, there's not many of that. And to see that is a beautiful thing. And to see that grace in action, boy, when you see someone living by grace, does it not stand out? Do you not see the difference in the life of the person who is moved by the power of God in grace? I used to party in Hollywood with a billion other youth that partied. They were just like me. We all did the same thing. Nothing too special. I got a nose ring, they got a nose ring. They had a nose ring, I got a nose ring. Nothing too special in all of that. Anybody can sin. And everybody does. But to walk a holy life for God, man, by the power of His grace, that is a life that is, man, it's indestructible. And is that what you want? It's what I want. And thank God that He saved a wretch like me. And you know what? He saved a wretch like you. He's a God who justifies the ungodly. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word, for Your grace. It is so powerful, Lord, just talking about it and the power that is in Your grace to save us and to set us apart for Your work. Lord, we want that. We want that, Lord. And we just say yes to that right now in our hearts, Lord. I thank You, Father, that we are able to meet in this place and speak of Your grace freely. And Father, let's not take that for granted this morning, Lord, and we don't want to. Lord, if there's any in this place that does not know Your wonder-working power of grace, we pray through the work of Your Spirit that You would open up the eyes of the blind. Father, that you would humble the proud. Bring salvation to them, we pray, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are able and you are faithful, and to you be the glory and honor forever and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.